Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this chilly but otherwise barren morning?
I'm well, Tom. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, I miss the snow. You know, we've got an environment that requires it for proper germination of seeds and killing of pests and oofta. Why don't we just stick to business instead here and start out with the Alexander Fellowship House on 6th Avenue?
Sure, I'd love to tell you about that. This is a project that I talked to Matthew Unzitig about. He owns the property. And I also talked to Wally Crabtree, a friend of his who is up in Silver Bay. And it's called Alexander Fellowship House in remembrance of a friend of Wally Crabtree's who died just a couple of years ago from a fentanyl overdose. This house, these two gentlemen have decided to just take a property, work on it, make it nice and livable. There's six apartments in there, and they're renting them to individuals very specifically who have struggles and difficulty finding permanent housing, stable housing, and trying to help connect them with resources that get their lives on track and keep them on track and be okay. So it's a really neat project. I really enjoyed talking to both of them. And the cool thing is they're planning on continuing and opening another house or looking to purchase another building in Two Harbors for women. Alexander House is for men.
Very good. And this is a private initiative, isn't it?
It is. It's under the name Go Ministries, and Matthew has written a couple of things for the paper already about that company, that specific company, and what they're doing. Yeah, it's a private thing. When you talk to Matthew, you find out very rapidly that he likes to find ways to get important things done quickly, and sometimes involving a lot of layers of administration slows things down, is his view. So yeah, this is just these two guys, and other people I think are donating and contributing to help out.
So, who is it that gets to live in a place like this? I mean, are they selected in some fashion, or they just know somebody who knows somebody, or what?
Yeah, I kind of asked Matthew the same thing, like, what's the process? And he said, well, it's really organic. He met people that didn't have a place to live or were looking for someplace stable to live and talked to them and suggested that they work something out. And so it's kind of just been word of mouth, very much so. He said it filled up really rapidly. I don't know the details of the tenants who are living there or how everyone found out about it. But I think you and I both know that housing being a pre-crisis issue, it didn't take long for word to get around that these gentlemen were willing to consider some circumstances that people might have difficulty finding permanent housing in their lives. And yeah, word of mouth filled it right up.
So these people are actually living by the precepts that they have accepted in their life. I mean, helping out your neighbor in need and that sort of a thing.
Yeah, if you talk to Matthew very long, and he's very vocal about it, and I know he's gone around and visited some churches, and he wants to talk to more people. He is a Christian, and he's very strong on following the basic Christian precepts of taking care of other people and helping them and giving them a hand. And he wants to encourage other people to do the same in a real functional way. It's pretty neat.
Well, I tip my hat to him. This is the same fellow who's refurbishing the show house too, right?
That's correct. The old Harbor Theater is owned by Matthew Unzitig, and that's something that he has done a lot of work on physically already and wants to make that a community center, event center, and is still looking for people to share ideas and their energy to make things happen.
Well, I think this will be a person to pay attention to, bringing about some changes on his own. Moving on, a little bit closer to the lake, we have a workshop in town that people are aware of but not aware of. Woodworking and wood carving are featured in the paper, but We don't want to forget the other portion of the building as well.
Oh, we never want to forget the Voyager artists as well. And it just so happens that we're going to highlight the woodworkers this week. Katya wrote a really great article. She talked to Ray Salica, who is instrumental in running the wood shop on that side of the building down by the depot, and also gave some recognition to Warren, who passed away recently, and all the work he did to help make it what it is today.
Well, very good. This is a kind of an open membership kind of a place too, isn't it? I mean, there's no secret grip and handshake or anything like that. You just express an interest and a desire.
That's correct. Yeah, we included some contact information in there, and Ray is in the shop most mornings, or Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and we included the hours in there and really encourage people to check it out, find out what tools are to offer, what the hours are, how you can participate to use the workshop. It's full of spinning and cutting and grooving devices. If you're interested in woodworking or are a woodworker and need to use the equipment in a warm place, it's a great opportunity. It's really open to anyone.
Excellent, excellent. Make two projects, one for yourself and one for the shop.
That's right.
Moving on to another way of keeping very, very busy, we're talking about bees and gardening.
Exactly. So I featured Dale Cavillin's classes with the community education at Two Harbors High School coming up. The first class will already have gone by on the 8th. But she has a whole series. You don't have to sign up for the series. You don't have to take all of them. Some of them are about beekeeping. Like, have you always thought that that would be a neat thing to do? This is a great class for you to ask a lot of questions, get a lot of information, find out more. And if you are interested, there's a second in that series where you could learn even more specifics about having your own beehive in your own property. But there's a number of other classes, too, that are about gardening. A whole host of things. I wish I could take all the classes. So it's a great way to be thinking about spring and planting, and Jadel's a lovely person to take classes from.
Marvelous, marvelous. On to something far more serious now. We have a county board meeting with some movement on development south of the city on the Stanley Road. My guess is this is a new stuff going up around the foot of Pork City Hill on facing the lake. Is that more or less right?
That is correct. And it was more just the board was being advised that that project is still being planned, that the conditional use permit is still considered to be an active one, and that building is still going to happen there. It's been a number of years since we first heard about that proposed project and its approval. But it's the owners and developers there are saying it's still going to happen.
So it's a concept of a project, no shovels and holes quite yet.
That's pretty accurate from what I can gather.
Okay, very good, very good. Northeast Regional Sustainable Development Partnership, rather long name for a relatively new and local innovation. And what they're connected to the U of M, some resources there.
Oh, there's already so many long things to explain. Sometimes I worry that people don't get to the meat of it, which is we have a wonderful program in Alex Carr's RSDP program out of the U of M, and in our region, in the Northeast region that is served by this, David Abbas is usually the contact person, and people know David because he's lived in the Finland area for a long, long time. So this opportunity is calling for initial applications, a really simple application. And what happens is if you have a really cool project that meets the guidelines, which usually has to do with sustainability and underserved populations, they will provide you with a lot of know-how and a lot of professional guidance through the university to help you get it done. So right now the RSDP is working with Friends of the Waterfront to develop some ideas down there. They're working in Knife River, talking about what kind of community they want to be. They've done work with Finland in the recent past. I think that was a previous year's project. And yeah, it would just encourage people to look at that application process. The pre-application takes you about 15 minutes. It's a simple one. So go looking that up and see what has happened before and what ideas are out there. It's a wonderful resource.
Well, if David Abbas is connected with it, it's really on the square. And I suspect more than just a little bit of innovation involved.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. Now, an interesting one for me, city of Green Bay, a population of about 120, give or take, and they have a functioning city council, and they're apparently involving the Green Door, and tell me more.
Yeah, I got a call the other day from some people that live up in Beaver Bay and work in Beaver Bay, that they have a functional, you're a little surprised like I am, they have a functioning city council meeting. I also did not know that their actual population had fallen to 120 people. It's a really interesting community because it's so historic, right? It's the longest held of white settlers in Minnesota with continuous population or something to that effect. So it has some history and story. It also has its own water and sewer utilities, which kind of makes it punching above its weight, right? That's kind of strange for such a small community. But that has to do with Cove Point Lodge and other resorts in the area sort of sustaining that or being a part of that or needing that. So that's how that all happened. And yeah, there's news coming out of there. I listened to a recent meeting that they had just last week, Tom, and they are turning around things at the Green Door. And I found that a really interesting thing that they're working on. It's taking a lot of work. And there's also other news. There's some contention happening around employees and personnel issues and who's in charge of what and what the rules of order are in a city council meeting. So it's a learning how to be a city. I think you've said that before. Stay tuned. I'm going to keep going to the council meetings and reporting on that for a little while.
You bet. Beaver Bay, if I'm not terribly mistaken or far off the mark, goes back to the Treaty of 1854 when the land was opened up for European settlement, and there they were, and was it Whalen Brothers and sawmill and oh my,
yeah.
So it is a lot more history than meets the eye, and as you say, in a small town, things tend to be more informal, but. If meetings are to be done in an orderly and timely fashion, they still have to have some kind of rules of some sort. And it might not be a strict parliamentarian kind of a thing, but it's rules that everybody has to agree on and then abide by. So, yes, this is kind of like a lifetime, a real live study in civics, how things are done. So is there anything else that you'd really like to let bubble out that you just cannot contain?
There's always more to the story. Yeah, next week.
Okay, as you wish. To our listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well, thank you, and bye for now.
Bye, Tom. Thank you.